Perfect Mother. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The Perfect Mother. What is the Perfect Mother? How do we understand the Perfect Mother? How do we think about the Perfect Mother? Do we think about the Perfect Mother as that wonderful being who is always there for the children, to raise the children, that wonderful being who gives the children all her values, that wonderful being who encourages the children to speak up and always say the truth and always live honesty, live purity, live goodness? Is that the Perfect Mother? Well, sounds like a good start, doesn't it? But what really is the Perfect Mother? The Perfect Mother is the ideal mother. Now, how do we define the ideal mother? How do we define that woman or that man who is the ideal mother? Because some dads are stay-at-home mothers, and some mothers are stay-at-home mothers, and some mothers are mothers whether they stay at home or whether they go to work or whatever they do. But they're mothers. Now, what is the ideal mother? Well, first, the ideal mother is the person. Let's be gender-wise here. Let's say the ideal mother is a woman. And the ideal mother is the person who gives birth to the child or the children. The ideal mother gives birth to the children. Now, the ideal mother thinks that every child is divine. Every child is magnificent. Every child is truly outstanding, truly something very, very, very special. That's the ideal mother. The ideal mother looks at her child, whether the child is born with an absolutely perfect body, which most children are born with, or with an infirmity of some kind. But the ideal mother looks at that child and sees that child as an ideal child. Now, in the first place, if the ideal mother is going to have a child, the ideal mother begins her role as a mother before the child comes. The ideal mother, as a little girl who wants to be a mother one day, thinks about her child or her children as being supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. She sees her children as just excellent. She sees her children whole and perfect. She sees her children in beautiful body, beautiful mind. She sees her children in all of these magnificent ways. Well, now, you have a man coming into the picture who brings his genes into the gene pool, and you have the woman bringing her genes into the gene pool, and you have prehistoric experiences, prehistoric, you like that word? Prehistoric experiences where grandma and the aunts and uncles and other aspects of the family bring their genes into the gene pool because they're there. Now, that's a lot of tough stuff. That's a lot of premature. That's a lot of activity that takes place early in life before the life even comes into existence, before the baby even decides that this is the family that they're going to come and live with. Now, that's tough. That's tough when you have these things in the history of the family that are a little imperfection or big imperfections. Now, that doesn't stop a mother and father from getting together and having children. It doesn't stop them from bringing forth their perfect ideal children. They just go out and do it. Sometimes they think about it ahead of time, and that makes it all the worse. But they get together, and their love brings out the child that they want. Their desire to be together, their desire to share, their desire to have children, their desire for their children to be outstanding children. Now, we're getting back to the idea of the perfect mother. We're getting back to the idea of that woman who is the ideal woman, the ideal mother. And she looks at her children before they're even born, and she says, ideal children. We will have the perfect children. We will have the children who will be the most outstanding children the world has ever known. We will have the most beautiful, the most charming, the most wonderful, the most fantastic children that anyone could ever desire. Now that's the ideal mother. Now, the ideal mother has another role. She has to hang on to that concept that her children are ideal. And she has to hang on to that concept that her children are ideal right on through their birth. Right on through their childhood. Right on through their youngsterhood. Right on through their adulthood. The ideal mother always sees her children perfect in spirit, mind, and body. Totally. Spirit, mind, and body. Not just spirit, not just mind, not just body, but together. Spirit, mind, and body. So, along comes life, and the child experiences an experience of illness or something. And the mother says, oh dear, oh dear. Yes, oh dear, oh dear. And the mother says, no, to herself. My child is whole and perfect. And she looks at that child, and she calls forth in her vision of that child its original purity and integrity, its ideal concept, its perfection as an ideal being. And as the mother sees this and calls this forth, the child experiences it. The child is very malleable, very able to accept whatever attitudes mother or the family see for it and about it. And so the mother, with her deep love, and the father joining the mother, you can be sure, and the mother with her deep love, see the child whole and perfect. No matter what little incident comes up in the child's life, the mother always sees the child as its ideal self, in its original purity and integrity, only the ideal. Now, the appearances might belie that to some degree, but the perfect mother does not look at appearances. The perfect mother looks at the reality from the very depth of her heart to the very depth of the heart of each child, each and every child. And she sees them in their original purity and integrity, and as she sees them in their original purity and integrity, they are in their original purity and integrity, and they are experiencing it, and they are knowing it, and they are having it, and they are loving it, and it is wonderful for them. Oh my, how wonderful it is for them. Now, no matter how often the child exposes itself to something contrary to its ideal, no matter how often, a cold here and there, a sniffle, a childhood disease, or something or other, we're not going to name these things, but anything that comes up in the child's experience, if the instant it shows its nose, if the instant it shows its presence, the mother says the child is whole and perfect. Now, even better, and here comes the perfect mama, perfect mother. When she puts her children to sleep at night, she goes into their room and she tells them how much she loves them. She tells them how wonderful they are. She tells them they live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. She tells them they are magnificent. She tells them they're the creators of their world. She tells them that every thought they think is a thought that manifests in their life and that they want to always think good, beautiful, uplifting thoughts. She tells them this. She tells them this. She tells them this. She tells them this. She tells them this because she believes it. And she tells them these affirmative ideas about themselves, and they believe it. That's all they know. That's all they hear. That's all they understand. And their mom is their perfect mom, and their perfect mom is telling them these things, and it's true. And then, in the morning, she goes in and awakens each child, and she says, "How is my little angel this morning? You look so beautiful. You look so wonderful." Now, does she say, "How is my little angel"? No way. She says, "My divine angel, you are perfect. You are whole and perfect. You are perfect in spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect. You're fantastic. You're fantastic. Oh, it's such a glory to look at you and just emote over the child. Each one. And if you've got 12 children, you got a busy morning ahead of yourself. But group all the children together. But no, each one is worth having their individual time of recognizing their original purity and integrity. Each one. And as the mother takes the time, that's her chore, that's her responsibility, that's her choice, that's her decision, that's her attitude that she had in being a mother. If you don't have time to work with your children, don't have them. Only have as many children as you can work with lovingly. Okay. So the perfect mother sees each child whole and perfect. And then the perfect mother at breakfast says to her children, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love." And the children in unison say with the mother, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love." And they eat their breakfast, not gobbledygook, but tastefully. The mother gives them a spoon that's half the size of a teaspoon. Just a little dessert-type spoon. Why are dessert-type spoons supposed to be always smaller than teaspoons? Because the dessert is not to be gobbled, it's to be delighted in. It's supposed to be tasted in every little morsel. You don't just throw it down your throat. If that's your case, then why bother eating? So, the mother gives them these little demitasse spoons, and as the children eat with them, they're accustomed to this. This is what they've had from the beginning of their time. They eat slowly and gently. The mother makes plenty of time for breakfast and for sharing and for thinking together. "You look lovely. My, it's so beautiful to look at my children and see them all looking so sparkly. You're just as shining lights. I tell you, it's wonderful. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm so happy to be your mama." And the children are so happy to be your children because they live in this delight. They live in this household of purity and goodness. They live in this household of magnificence. And they're so happy. They're so happy. Yes, the perfect mama takes time with her children. The perfect mother takes time to tell her children about how wonderful the perfect mama is and how wonderful the perfect children are. How the perfect children are the delight. And the perfect mom does not have to experience illnesses with the children because she has emboldened them, embodied them. She's given them the power, the empowering idea of they are whole and perfect at all times. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And the children live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. And all the days of their life, they live in this magnificent spirit, mind, and body. All the days of their life. And there's no worry about the doctor. There's no worry about problems. Because the children live in this top consciousness. And in this top consciousness, they experience wholeness, perfection, divinity, wonder, magic. When you do your groundwork, the rest takes care of itself. When you give the Demeter spoon and eat slowly and delightfully, all things work out in divine order. The perfect mother? That's you, that's me. Did you have the perfect mother? I know I did. And I am thrilled about it. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.